My name's Mickey Bush and I'm an alcoholic. Probably an addict too. I identify that way in Alcoholics Anonymous meetings because that's the way we like it done in Alcoholics Anonymous. We like to identify one alcoholic to another alcoholic. Seems to work pretty good that way. Seems to have worked pretty good when Bill met Bob. Seems to have worked pretty good when I got here 15 years ago. And I've absolute faith and trust that it has seemed to work pretty good from this day on. We like to identify one alcoholic to another alcoholic. So in Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, I identify as an alcoholic and probably an addict. But I'm a real alcoholic. So I get invited to speak at Narcotics Anonymous meetings too. And Cocaine Anonymous meetings as well. And when I identify in NA or CA, I identify there as an addict and probably an alcoholic. See? Because that's the way they like it done too. See? And so today that's what I do. I know how to do that and I don't have any problem with that. It seems to be quite comfortable with me these days. The truth of the matter is, and some of you folk know me, and that is that if there's a 12-step program of any kind, I'm a contender for it. You know what I mean? I mean, I really am. It doesn't matter really what it is. AA, NA, CA, ACA, Overeaters, Little Peters. It don't matter what it is, for God's sake. You know what I mean? I mean, if there's a 12-step, I'm a contender for it, you know? I just am. You know, I never knew that when I got here. You know, and I want to thank you for inviting me to come up here. You know, I'm really glad to be here. Wherever here is, I don't know, I've no idea where I am. I'm really glad I'm here. But I don't know where I am. I know there's a lot of cow shit here, you know? We were driving up the road, we were driving from LA, and we hit the road up there, and I turned to Mindy, and I went, Mindy! She said, I thought it was you! Has anybody not noticed this chap here? Look, give him some attention, yeah. Well, come back. Come back. Look. Turn your beeper off. We do. It's going to be fun to watch you grow. I got to my first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on January the 15th, 1983. Broke, busted, disgusted and not to be trusted, never had a clue about nothing. Never knew nothing about nothing. I mean, I just never knew nothing about nothing. I thought I knew everything about everything, but never knew nothing about nothing. And I don't just say that, I just didn't. I never had a clue about nothing. I was so sick when I got here. I was so sick that I never knew I was sick. Do you know how sick that is? Do you know how sick it is to be so sick that you don't know you're sick? That's really sick. And if you're as sick as me, maybe you did what I did. I mean, when I got here, even after I'd been here a while, I was so sick that I came into a room like this and I looked around and I thought, oh, well, at least I'm not as sick as him. Do you know how sick it is to be in a room like this and think you're not as sick as someone else? That is really sick. So if you're in here tonight wondering whether you is or whether you isn't a real alcoholic or not, I want you to know that I can relate to being as sick as you don't think you are. And that's really sick. Now, I don't know if you're really sick or not, but I was really sick when I got here. See? And I never knew nothing about nothing. Plus, I had a hearing problem. See? And I don't know whether you got a hearing problem or not, but I got a hearing problem. And so, in order to qualify, especially to the new folk here who may be as sick as me, and who may have a hearing problem, I just want to let you know that, you know, don't feel like so weird as I did. You know, because if you've got a hearing problem and you're really sick like me, you know, what I'm saying may not be what you're hearing. You may be hearing shit that I'm not saying. You know what I mean? I mean, it happens if you've got a hearing problem like me. It takes a long time to go away as well. Because I don't hear shit right. I just don't hear shit right. I never did. I don't. I just keep getting in trouble and I just don't hear shit right. It happened in here tonight. I was back there and a lady, a girl, she pushed past and she bumped into me and she went, "Oh, excuse me. Well, I don't hear shit right." I said, "Sit you, shoe. I've got my girlfriend here." She said, "I never said she'd do sweet." I said, "Excuse me." I went, "Oh." I mean, I was tempted for a minute. But I don't hear shit right. I never have. Long before I got here, I never heard shit right. When I was a young dude and I'd be getting drunk and I would come home and I lived in my mum's house in Northwest London. My mum still lives in Northwest London and I'm from Northwest London. You probably picked up on that, right? This is the way I talk. Alcohol never done this to me. You know what I'm saying? And my mum, you know, she's just like the sort of the earth type lady. She's just a lovely lady and I love her dearly and I mean she never missed a trick, my mum. Mums are like that, aren't they? I mean, mums don't miss nothing, do they? I mean, I grew up really, I kind of really did believe my mum had eyes in her ass, you know what I mean? Because she just never missed nothing. And I would come home and I would be shit-faced and stumbling around and my mum would be in bed and she would call out down the stairs, "Drunk again, son!" And I'd go, "So am I, mum!" And she'd say, "I'm not bloody drunk, I've been in bed since 8 o'clock. What the hell's wrong with you, goddamn weirdo? What the hell's wrong with you? Are there any other weird people here tonight?" Yeah, and the rest of you lying mothers, I can tell. I mean, what the hell's wrong with you? Do you ever hear that said? What's wrong with you? What the hell's wrong with you? For Christ's sake, what's wrong with you? You're goddamn weird, you are. What the hell's wrong with you, weirdo? Get the hell away from me, weirdo. What do you keep saying that weird shit for? And I would think, what do they mean? I ain't bloody weird, you're weird. What do you mean? What do you drink like you do for? Why don't you drink like I do? And they would ask me what's wrong with me, as if I knew. As if I could give them an answer. What the hell's wrong with you? Oh, well, actually, I've got a twofold disease, an obsession of the mind and an allergy of the body, and I can't control the drinking, and I go... I don't know what's wrong with me. Nothing's wrong with me. What the hell's wrong with you? Because I don't think there's nothing wrong with me. There ain't nothing wrong with me. Because I'm an alcoholic, and I don't know I'm an alcoholic, but I've got an abnormal reaction to alcohol. I react abnormally to alcohol. I don't react normally to alcohol. I have an abnormal reaction to alcohol. I don't react the same as everybody else to alcohol. I don't know this. I don't know this growing up. I don't know, I only know anything about alcoholism or about myself in retrospect. I never knew this shit when I was growing up. I never knew this shit when I was out there doing it. It's only since I got here and you guys have taught me about it that I know anything about it. I never knew when I was out there. I hear people in here talking about why they drank and all that stuff. And they say things like, well, I drank to cover up my feelings. And I think, when did you discover that? At what stage of the game did that occur to you? I mean, drank to cover up my feelings because I couldn't stand it. I mean, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine. Did anybody here ever go into a bar and say, bartender, give me a triple shot of your best shit because I can't stand who I am and I want to cover up my feelings tonight? I never did that. I don't know why I drink or what I'm doing drinking or anything about drinking. All I know is that it's like, great. I call it a nerd remover. I have an abnormal reaction to alcohol. It removes the nerdness. I feel like a nerd, I drink and I don't feel like a nerd no more. I feel like a nerd and I drink and I don't give a shit if I'm a nerd. I feel like a nerd and I drink and you're a bloody nerd, screw you, you know? It just removes the nerdness. I don't feel like a goddamn nerd. I can't stand myself and I think I'm better than you and I feel worse than you and I don't give a shit. Piss off. Just leave me alone. Get the hell away from me. Because when I drink, I don't feel like a nerd, I feel like a king. See? You're a bloody nerd. See? And so, now that doesn't happen to my three sisters and brother. It doesn't happen to them. It happens to me. I don't know it's happening to me. I don't know what all that's about. I don't know what's going on all these years that I'm drinking and gradually going on the downward spiral, like the 12 and 12 steps says. Years before we realised it, our drinking was no mere habit. We were in fact in the grips of a fatal progression. I don't know that. I never knew that. I never had a clue about any of that. Not until I came here to Alcoholics Anonymous on January the 15th, 1983. And you guys told me about that. Because no one else had ever told me about that. No one else had ever got through to me like you guys did. That's why one alcoholic relates to another alcoholic. That didn't never happen to me before. It never happened to me in all those places they locked me up. It never happened to me in all those nut wards that they put me in. It never happened to me when they shot me up with all that shit that they shot me up with. It never happened to me when they put me on them bloody electric machines and zapped my ass. You know what I mean? Don't volunteer for that shit, folks. That's no good, that shit. You know? By the way, I use the word shit a lot. I like the word shit. I wrote an acronym for shit, S-H-I-T. Simply how I think. Shit. When the guys, my sponsor, want to argue, they say, well, I think, I say, crap. Bullshit, don't want to hear it. So, but I like the word shit. They never got through to me like you guys. They knew how to bash me up. They knew how to beat the shit out of me. They knew how to lock me up and ostracize me from society. They knew how to put me in padded cells. And they knew how to do the shuffle. And they knew how to incarcerate me. But they never knew how to get through to me like Alcoholics Anonymous did. And nothing they did worked. Nothing they did to me worked. Nothing they did to me would get me to do what they wanted me to do. See? I think about it sometimes, you know, because the disease that I'm powerless over got me to do anything it wanted me to do, which was drink and use, any time it wanted. And any time it wanted my ass drinking and using, it just wheeled me in like a goddamn fish and I never even knew it. Nothing the man could do that. But this disease that I never even knew I was powerless over would do that. It's a horrendous thing. Never knew that until I got here. I got to Alcoholics Anonymous after another 2-day blackout. because I'm a blackout drinker. See, any other blackout drinkers here? Lying load of mothers, look at you. Look, not one blackout drinker in that whole table there, look. Goddamn liars, look. There's far too much. They say if you're laughing, you're relating, and if you're relating to a sicko like me, there ain't no doubt about you, pal. I tell you that. And there's far too much laughter for the few hands that went up when I said about, yeah. See? And I don't know what a blackout is. I get to Alcoholics Anonymous and you guys told me. You guys, when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, on the very first day that I got here, this dude got up in my face, and I'll never forget him. I haven't seen him in a long time, and I wish I had, but I got a vision of his face in my head, because he got up in my face and put his finger in my face and said, "You're an alcoholic!" I said, "What?" He said, "You're an alcoholic!" "Alcoholic? You, you're an alcoholic! I'm an alcoholic, you're an alcoholic!" I thought, that's bloody mean to say a thing like that. Say a thing like that, you don't even know me. "What do you mean? You're an alcoholic! That story you just told this guy, the blackout, alcoholic blackout." I said, "No, I wasn't in no blackout, I was awake, I was doing shit." "I didn't know you did shit in a blackout that you didn't remember. Like travel and other things. I don't even know what a blackout is. I've been having blackouts all my life and don't even know what they are. And here's a dude who does telling me that I was in them, and the best I can say is, no, I wasn't in no blackout. I was awake." He said, I said, "Blackout, idiot, not pass out." I went, "Oh. I don't know you do shit in a blackout that you don't remember and end up in places that you don't know you remember." I came out of a blackout once walking down a street in Spain. I went out drinking in London. You know something's happened when you go out drinking in foggy, wet, rainy London and you come out of a blackout in sunshine with palm trees. Ain't no bloody sunshine and palm trees in London. Don't make no difference. I mean, think about it. I've gone from London to Spain. I've gone through customs. I've crossed the continent and don't even know how I got there. Didn't make no difference. I mean, went straight into a bar and carried on drinking. I know Spain. I've lived in Spain a couple of times. You know. Maybe you didn't travel in your blackouts. Maybe you had different forms of blackouts than me. Maybe you stayed at home. Maybe you're the type of drinker that... Has anybody here ever drank somebody good-looking? Oh, look. Oh, now we're getting somewhere. Look. You know how that works, don't you? Some old pig down the end of the bar suddenly becomes glorious. Sometimes you wake up next to them the following morning, you know what I'm saying? One cigarette, get out! I was like, "Get out!" She said, "You get out, this is my house." A lot of laughter for those few hands. See, I come out of blackouts in all kinds of situations. I don't know what, when. I don't know nothing about them. There's a dude up in my face saying, "You're an alcoholic!" Wow. Now, our beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous, this beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous, I love this book. Anybody read this book, by the way? It's a good idea. It don't say we don't tell folk they're alcoholic. It says we prefer not to. A totally different thing. You guys told me I was alcoholic, and you told me the way I needed to be told. See? Now we hear about love and gentleness and all that. Well, you never did that to me. I'm glad you didn't. Because I'm just sort of like so sick that if anybody shows me any niceness or any kindness, I take it as weakness and just gobble them up, man. And if anybody shows me any niceness, it means they want something. They either want something from me, or they want me to give them something. And I don't know how to act that way. I'm a little better than an animal when I get here. I don't know how to receive love or give love or nothing about love. You guys didn't want nothing. You didn't ask me for nothing. You said, you're alcoholic. You told me the truth. You told me about me that I had never heard before. And even if I'd heard it, I hadn't heard it right. See? Because I've got a hearing problem. Because I said, you're alcoholic. And I thought, holy shit, alcoholic. Alcoholic. I'm alcoholic. You're alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. You're an alcoholic. You're saying I'm an alcoholic. Yes, you're an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. 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 I'm an alcoholic. Far out. Far out. I'm an alcoholic. Holy shit. I ain't crazy. I ain't nuts. I'm an alcoholic. Far out. That was like a step up for me to be alcoholic. Oh, wow. Far out. I'm writing that down. Alcoholic. I couldn't wait to run home and tell my best pal, the pal that had just X'd me out of his life that morning, told me, piss off you, he said, piss off. I couldn't wait to run back to him and tell him, hey, guess what, I'm an alcoholic, I'm powerless over alcohol, my life's unmanageable. He said, no shit. I thought it was going to be a surprise. Everybody knew, except me. Book calls you delusionary thinking. Wow, I couldn't believe it. Far out. Alcoholic, wow. I was all weird and I was all like hurting and I didn't really know what was going on. I was at this meeting, Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. Holy shit. I don't even know how I got there. It's like here, I don't even know where I am. Same on that first day. I never knew nothing about AA. When we read out chapter 3, I never stood at no turning point, half measures availing me nothing. I never tried to compare my drinking to anybody else's. I never did all that. I never tried to quit countless vain attempts and all that stuff. I never did all that. To my conscious knowledge, I'd never ever tried to quit drinking. I didn't come here to quit drinking. I'd never ever tried to quit. I didn't want to quit. I'd no desire to quit. I never even knew that I was an alcoholic. I never knew what a blackout was. I never had a clue about nothing. I never knew nothing about nothing when I got here. I just never knew all that shit. I never tried to compare my drinking to anybody else's. If I had a done, I'd have realised there was something wrong with my drinking, and I never ever knew that the trouble that I constantly got in, and all my life I'd been in and out of prisons, and in and out of nut wards, and in and out of everything, I never once had a clue that booze was causing the problem. And I certainly, a couple of inklings I got of information that, you know, booze could have been a part of something, but I never once ever got an inkling that quitting drinking would be the solution. Not once. Now, I'm not an idiot. I'm a smart dude. I'm a happening dude. I was voted most likely to succeed. I got a great education. I got letters after my name. I got a PhD. Pretty heavy drinker. But I don't know nothing about what's killing me till I come here and you guys tell me. And today I'm real glad I did. Real glad that you guys treated me the way you did. Because nothing else had ever gotten through to me. See? And we have what I call a lot of lip-flapping party line bullshit around here. And I don't know where it comes from half the time. I have no idea where some of this crap that I hear in meetings and speakers and stuff comes from. Lip flapping party line bullshit. Has nothing to do with nothing, and yet we hear it all the time around here. I don't know where the hell it comes. Got to get in touch with your inner child. What? Got to get in touch with your inner child. Your inner child? If your inner child's like my inner child, you ought to slap the little prick. You know what I mean? Where does that come from? It ain't in the book. Got to get in touch with your feminine side. What? Get in touch with your feminine side? If I could get in touch with the feminine side, I'd play with the bastard. I have trouble playing with the masculine side, for Christ's sake. I don't know where that shit comes from. I have no idea where all that's from. I choose not to drink today. Where the hell does that shit come from? I don't know where that... ain't in the book. I choose not... I think piss on you. Choose not to drink today. The book tells me I've lost the power of choice in drink. I don't know where that shit comes from. Oh, it's easy to choose not to drink today. Can't rely on it. I can do it, but I can't rely on it. It's easy to choose not to drink today. I did it 3 times in one day once. Can't rely on it. Just say no. There's a doozy. How about that one? Just say no. Just say no. Where does that shit come from? Just say no. I don't know where that shit comes from. It ain't in the book. Just say no to a full-blown drunk like me. Just say no. If I could just say no, we'd have a different ball game going here. Just say no. It's like telling that homeless dude on the corner, hey, homeless dude, just get a house. Get a goddamn house, homeless dude. You prick, if I could get a house, I wouldn't be homeless. Yeah, and if I could just say no to booze, I wouldn't be a drunk, neither. I don't know where that shit comes from. I ain't in the book. You know, I don't know what the hell goes on. You guys taught me what this was all about, and I'm glad you did. I'm glad you taught me about what alcohol was doing to me. And I'm glad you told me the way you did it, because you're alcoholic! And I'm real glad he did, because he got past all those voices that were going off in my head. Who relates to the voices that talk to you in your head? You know the voices I'm talking about. And voices that just said, what voices? Them bloody voices, you know what I mean? Yeah, you know the voices. Them voices that sometimes you wake up in the morning and they're sitting on the edge of the bed, says, I'm glad you're awake, I've been waiting to talk to you. And they set in, don't they? Ha ha, ha ha. You're a piece of shit, ha ha. You're going to get fired today, ha ha. She's doing your best friend, you know that, don't you? She's doing it, yeah. You're screwed. And they just drive us insane. This guy got past those voices that were talking in my head. Told me I was alcoholic. Far out. I don't know nothing about nothing. I'm in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. I don't even know what this bloody place is all about. There's people in this room and I know some of them. I'll back up. I've just come out of a 2-day blackout. I've been in a blackout. I went out drinking Sunday lunchtime. It's now Tuesday morning. And I don't know where I've been and I don't know what I've been doing and I don't know who I've been doing it with, but I just know it ain't right. Only ever came out of a blackout, like the beautiful book says, pitiful and incomprehensibly demoralised. And if you look at that word, it's P-A-I-D, paid, we paid our dues. See? Pitiful and incomprehensibly demoralised. I never once came out of a blackout happy, joyous and free. I never once came out of a blackout doing something nice for somebody. I never once came out of a blackout heading up a charity show or giving a kid a toy or doing something nice. It was always in some pitiful and incomprehensibly demoralised situation. Just like my last drunk. It's Tuesday morning. I live in West Hollywood. I live above Sunset in a one-bedroom apartment, and I'm renting out the bedroom, and I'm living in a closet. I got a mattress in the closet because the rent she's paying is paying the rent for the whole place, because we're smart as alcoholics, see? I've got a mattress in this closet off of the bed, off of the living room. And anybody in West Hollywood? Well, there's a couple of folks. Well, you know, it's a special part of town. It's a weird place to live, I tell you that. For you guys who are not initiated, it's sometimes referred to as Boys Town. You know what I mean by that? If you don't know what I mean, it's kind of town where if you drop your wallet on Santa Monica Boulevard, you've got to kick it up to Sunset before you can pick it up. You know? Oh, you know what I'm talking about? Nothing to do with nothing, just a place I was living. I call up my best friend, he's told me piss off. I call up this other dude who's been lurking around. He's an English rock and roll singer, and he's been 12-stepping me. I don't know nothing about 12-stepping. I don't know nothing about being alcoholic. I don't know nothing about Alcoholics Anonymous. But one of you guys, like our beautiful 12-step says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, try to carry this message to the alcoholic who still suffers. And he's been trying to carry it to me. I don't even want it. But he gets the benefit of trying to carry it. I never, like another lip-flapping party line bullshit, your best thinking got you. My bloody best thinking never got me here at all. You think I came through on that Tuesday morning and looked in the mirror and said, Nick, your life is a mess, you better go to AA and sort the bugger out. It never happened. One of you chaps had been 12-stepping me and planting the seed. And when the pupil's ready, the master appears, right? And this guy, I call up my best friend, he tells me piss off. I call up this other guy and he's laughing. I don't know what he's laughing about. I said, what are you laughing at? You, he said. I said, how come? He said, because you do weird shit, that's why. I said, what do you mean? And he laughed, a big belly laugh. Oh, I said, why is he laughing? He said, I ain't had a drink for 2.5 years. I said, you ain't had a drink for 2.5 years, how come? Because I don't know he ain't had a drink for 2.5 years. Why would I? As long as I am, I don't care that he ain't. He said, I don't drink anymore. I haven't drank for 2.5 years. I said, why? He said, because I used to drink like you. I said, what do you mean? And he let out a hoot. Oh, man, did he laugh. I said, well, just keep quiet laughing all the time. We don't like being laughed at, do we? Delicate dudes. He said, have you talked to your friend, the one visiting from Spain? I said, yeah, he told me piss off. And he laughed again. I said, why you should laugh? He said, you don't remember what you got up to over the weekend, do you? I said, no, what? He said, well, it all started after you peed in that lady's dinner. I said, what? He said, your friend took us to that posh Beverly Hills restaurant. In the middle of the restaurant, you got up and whacked it out and did it right in her spaghetti. I said, oh my God. Because I didn't remember peeing in no old lady's dinner. And I would do shit like that and I wouldn't remember, and then I would go back to that restaurant or club and then they would like get all mad and go, wow, what are you doing here after what you did? And I'd go, what do you mean? Because I don't remember. And they'd call the cops or I'd be in trouble again. And I wouldn't know what was going on all the time. And here it was, and he's told me, you, and I went, oh man, and I threw the phone down. Well, guess what? There's no coincidence here. But on my coffee table that morning, and I don't know why this morning is any different than any other morning, but it is. Because I'm about to join the process of recovery here. And it's a process, or a process, not an event. And I don't know that. I don't know at the time, oh, you're about to hit bottom, oh, you're about to join AA, oh, you're about, your life is about to change. I don't know none of this thing while it's going on. It's only in retrospect I can look back and tell you about it. But as I look down on my coffee table, there's a copy of the beautiful book Alcoholics Anonymous on the coffee table. And a meeting guide, a meeting directory. I don't know where it's come from, but it's there. I look in the meeting guide and there's a meeting just down the road on San Vicente Hill in West Hollywood that I can walk to. Holy shit. It turns out, folks, that the girl that was renting the bedroom in my apartment had been sentenced. She'd had two 502s. She'd been busted twice for under the influence, and the judge had sentenced her to Alcoholics Anonymous, and you guys had given her this book and a meeting guide to take home with her, and she'd brought it home and left it on the coffee table. And when I come out of this blackout, there it is for me. And I look in the meeting guide and I walk down to this meeting, this AA meeting, that I could walk to down on San Vicente Hill. But I'm going to back up, because before that happened, I hit bottom. I didn't know I was hitting bottom. I didn't know what hitting bottom was. But I hit bottom. And why do you think we talk about the essentialness of every alcoholic to hit bottom? First, I don't know it at the time. At the time that it's happening, I don't know about it. Only in retrospect can I look back, having learned what you guys have taught me. That particular morning, having been told to piss off by my best friend, having been laughed at by a guy trying to help me, having just gone so little and inadequate. Do you know what I mean when you just feel little and inadequate? And you just feel just so much pain and so much desperation and just in so much despair that you just can't stand it and you just hurt and you just, oh! And you turn to the power and you say something to the effect of, help me, for fuck's sake, help me! Anybody relate to that? And we invite the power into our life as far as alcohol is concerned. Because up until this time, I'm powerless over alcohol. I don't know I'm powerless over alcohol. But when I hit bottom, and people talk about high bottoms and low bottoms. There's no such crap as high bottoms and low bottoms. Because hitting bottom is an inside job. I sponsor people that have got mega bucks, celebrities, that have got whole management teams managing their life. But they hit bottom just as badly as anybody else. Because it's an inside job. It's not about the outside stuff. And of course, when you turn to the power, whatever form the power has, or you understand or don't understand, and invite it into your life, help me, help, it's the magic words. Because we're asking for the help. ASK, Ask Saving Kit. Help, H-E-L-P, His Ever-Loving Presence. It gives you the gift of sobriety. G-I-F-T, God is forever there. Holy shit. And like he said to me, and in retrospect I can look back, and I say, help me, and he says, Nick, you silly bastard, I've been waiting for you to ask. Get yourself over to that AA meeting. And the power sent me to the doctor, you guys. And you guys gave me the prescription. You guys gave me the prescription. You guys gave me the program. You guys introduced me to the 12 spiritual steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Here was the power. The power that I turned to sent me to you guys. Here was a 12-step spiritual fellowship. The power. Me plus you was a power greater than me on my own. You plus us is a power greater than you. When two alcoholics come together for the purpose of recovery, God comes in our midst and produces a power greater than either of us. So it's produced by us, but it's greater than us, and we can absolutely depend upon it. When two alcoholics come together for the purpose of recovery, which is the third factor. See, a lot of people don't have that. Alcoholics come together, but they don't have the third factor, which is for the purpose of recovery. Even in AA meetings, people don't get that. AA people, they come here and they cruise the rooms and they haven't got for the purpose of recovery. They've got some form of self going on. And the third factor isn't present, so they never get it. They become one of the keep coming backers. What I call the keep coming backers. Now, are you a keep coming backer? Are you a keep coming backer, or are you a sticker and a stayer? Well, I see it all the time. Keep coming back, keep coming back, keep coming back. People do, don't they? They go in and out and keep coming back. Well, you can be a keep coming backer, or you can be a sticker and a stayer. And a sticker and a stayer is what works. You think I'm putting down people who keep coming back? I ain't. but there's something that works here and there's something that don't. And you guys, me plus you, with the purpose of recovery, if it was just about alcoholics hanging out together, we'd have a different ball game going on here. See, if it was just about alcoholics hanging out together, you can go down any skid row in any town in any country in the world and see drunks hanging out together. There's nothing special about that. Drunks have always hung out together. Third factor, for the purpose of recovery, like our beautiful book says, if you are an alcoholic who wants to get over it, you may already be asking, what do I have to do now? And you guys told me, because I did ask. And you guys told me. You said, if you want to give up drinking and using, you've got to replace it with the steps. I said, what do you mean? STEPS, solution to every problem, sober. I said, well, you have to use steps? Yeah. What happens if I don't want to use steps? If you don't work the steps, you go crazy, you go nuts. NUTS, not using the steps. You know? Holy shit. What do you mean? Well, we got a program. Program? What do you mean program? P-R-O-G-R-A-M. People relying on God, relaying a message. Holy shit. Where did I find this program? It's in the book. What book? This book. The big book. Big book? What do you mean big book? B-I-G-B-O-O-K. Believing in God beats our old knowledge. Oh shit, how do I find out about that? Better ask the sponsor. Sponsor? What do you mean sponsor? S-P-O-N-S-O-R. Sober person offering newcomers suggestions on recovery. That's what a sponsor is. Wow. I never knew that. No, that's why you keep getting drunk. Should you work the steps? Of course you work the steps. Why don't you work the steps? So I'll stay sober. What do you mean sober? S-O-B-E-R. Son of a bitch. Everything's real. That's what sober is. Holy shit. Well, what do you want to be sober for? What do I want to be sober for? Because I came here a hopeless dope fiend. Now I'm a dopeless hope fiend. That's why I want to be sober. Hope? What do you mean hope? H-O-P-E. Happy our program exists. Who's happy they got a program here? Look at that. Yeah, no shit. H-O-P-E. Maybe it's hearing other people's experiences. H-O-P-E. Maybe that's what it is, huh? Because that's what we do here, don't we? We come here and share our experience, strength and hope with each other to recover from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Our experience, strength and hope. Not our bloody opinion. Nothing in the book about opinion, strength and hope. I know people get up to these podiums and say, everything you hear from me is strictly my own opinion, just for me. This is just for me. I'm caring just for me. I think, fuck you! People think that they get up here and say, just for me, and then they can spew out a whole load of crap and go unchallenged. Yeah, well, cruise crap on that too. No. Share our experience, strength and hope, don't we? With each other. Because we're the ones that we do. That's why we're in here. So to share with each other, one alcoholic to another alcoholic. Because them folk out there, they don't understand this disease. They don't know about this disease. We do. We know how to help each other like you did with me. When I never knew and those guys never got through to me, you guys did. My own mum that I talk about and love so much today. She don't understand this disease. She don't know me as well as you guys. You've never even seen me before. She don't know me as well as you guys do. She ain't alcoholic and she don't understand this disease. Every year I go on to my mum's house. I go and visit my mum every year. I'm going in the spring and I walk into her house. Whatever year it is, I walk in and say, Mum, I'm 15 years sober. She says, so is the cat. She don't give me a pat on the back for not doing something I shouldn't have done anyway. She don't understand this. You guys do. See? Now I'm a real alcoholic, folks. I am a real alcoholic. I am a total alcoholic. Everything about me's alcoholic. I am a real alcoholic. Alcoholic, alcoholic, alcoholic. Get it, get it, get it. Do not confuse me with someone who ain't an alcoholic. Because I'm a real alcoholic. And I always drank alcohol. Always drank alcohol. I didn't only drink alcohol, but I always drank it. I didn't only drink alcohol, I also did loads of other shit. Good shit. Loads of shit. I also did loads of drugs. Millions of drugs. Now, I know this is an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, and some alcoholics in Alcoholics Anonymous meetings don't like hearing about drugs in Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. Never did drugs. I'm really glad you're here. If you're an alcoholic that just and only drank alcohol, a specialist, you know, I'm really glad you're here. But I ain't no goddamn specialist. I'm a real alcoholic. I am a chemical gourmet. I am a chemical connoisseur, man. Or as my sponsor says, no, Nick, you're a chemical kind of sewer. Yeah. I'm a real alcoholic who did millions of drugs. Don't tell me to go somewhere else, because I ain't going nowhere else. I'm staying right here. I did millions of drugs, and when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I had alcohol, alcoholics, alcoholics, Alcoholics Anonymous, so I never drank no more. You guys said, go stop drinking, I didn't drink. But I told you, I got a hearing problem. I never heard that it was all mind-altering chemicals, so I carried on doing them. I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous, not drinking. Loved it. Loved it. Took a 30-day trip. 6 weeks I'm sober. The English rock and roll singer that 12-stepped me, he'd been out on a tour, and he came into the meeting, and he came to that meeting that day. I'm 6 weeks sober. He took one look at me and went, Mick, what the hell happened to you? I said, what do you mean? He said, I used to call up every day. Folks told me you were doing good, staying sober, going to meetings. He said, what happened? I said, what do you mean? I said, I'm sober as a judge. He said, you're off the wall. I said, what do you mean I'm off the wall? He said, you're whacked. I said, what do you mean I'm whacked? He said, what are you on? I said, nothing. He said, you can't be like that on nothing. What did you do since you got up this morning? I said, the same as I do every morning. What, he said? I said, I woke up and I smoked a joint. He said, what? I said, as soon as I wake up, I light up a joint. We had some good indica bud coming over the weekend. Anybody here smoke a little pot? Anybody smoke a lot? No shit. He said, you can't do that. I said, what do you mean you can't do that? He said, it's a mind-altering chemical. I said, no it ain't, it's pot. He said, what a dick. Keep coming back, for God's sake, he said. I said, screw you! It's Alcoholics Anonymous, you don't mean pot, I like pot. I ain't got a problem with pot. Pot only does two things to me, makes me horny and hungry. No problem with that. Well, some mornings you wake up with a sore arm and a bed full of pizza crust. Oh, you do that 6 year, huh? Yeah. Well, for the new folk in the room, 15 years later, I want to tell you, I've changed. I don't eat pizza in bed anymore. But I do that shit. I also like cocaine. Anybody here do a little cocaine? Anybody do a lot? No shit. Do anything for cocaine. Except pay for it. Don't like paying for it. I like them hallucinogenics too. I love dust. Oh man, I love it. MDA was my favourite. LSD. I love all that mind-altering shit. Great shit that. Got extra plane in the John Lennon several times. Hope to God I did. Takes a long time to get over that shit, I tell you. You don't get over that shit one day at a time, I tell you. I still have flashbacks now. Woo, gone, you know. I like speed, crystal, crank. Anybody here do a little speed, crystal, crank? Anybody do a lot? No shit. Did it make your dick disappear too? Yeah. Try getting there, have a goddamn book or a therapist. Oh yeah, fire up some crank, make your dick disappear. No, they don't know that. I know that, when I want to get it on. Where's the dick gun? Oh, shit! I like heroin. I love heroin. I don't give a shit about puke on you, for Christ's sake. I'm a puker. I don't hear this shit in Alcoholics Anonymous. I hear it's AA, Alcoholics Anonymous don't drink. But if you hear nothing else here today, don't be confused about this. I'm a real alcoholic, and it entails not drinking and using anything from affection from the neck up. Do not be confused in this area. And if you're an alcoholic that didn't use drugs and don't know about it, don't sell him some poor little prick that, you know, to get out and go somewhere else. Direct him to someone like me who may be able to help him. You know? I never knew that. 4 months I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous and don't have a clue. Crazy and insane. Completely insane. And don't know what's going on. You guys taught me. You guys nurtured me. You guys hugged me. You guys wrapped your arms around me and said, keep coming back, we love you. I don't know nothing about that. Where I come from, dudes don't tell dudes they love them. I got to that meeting, as I walked up to that meeting in West Hollywood, there's two dudes standing outside. Today I know them as greeters, I don't know nothing. Then I walk up to that meeting, one guy steps forward and puts out his hand. I said, what do you want? He said, welcome you to AA. I said, what? He said, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. I said, what? And the other guy said, keep coming back. I said, what for? He said, we love you. I said, I bet you do. See, that's how sick I am. I'm hurting, I'm wretched, and I'm dope sick, and I think they fancy me. Because I'm a real alcoholic. When I come out of blackouts, I'm broke, busted, disgusted, and not to be trusted. I don't have no, I'm not the kind of user that says, oh, thank God I thought to put this gram aside for the morning. I don't have any spare grams. And what happened here happened for this alcoholic, and I've been in love with Alcoholics Anonymous from day one. I never knew it, but I was looking for Alcoholics Anonymous all my life and never knew it. And never had a clue. And when I got here, I didn't feel weird and out of place. I slotted right in with you folk. And I loved it, and I've loved it ever since. And I'm even more thrilled about being a member of Alcoholics Anonymous today than I've ever been. It's more thrilling to me 15 years later than I've ever been. And I can tell you this program works. My spiritual connection, the conscious contact I have with the power that I never knew nothing about when I got here, is as tight. Materially, I have no idea how to explain to you how a guy like me comes from where I came from to where I am today. I got four houses today. I have more than I need of everything I need. Everything I need, I have more of it than I need. He it's hard to describe, really. I got a Jaguar sports car. I love my Jaguar sports car, but it's all a message. My Jaguar sports car, I mean, I'm a limey, for Christ's sake. I'm a limey, lush and loady. What else would I have? A 12-cylinder Jaguar sports car. 12 steps, 12 traditions, 12 cylinders. But it's a limey piece of shit. So I got a Jeep as a backup. And a little truck. See? Because my Jaguar goes wrong. And when it goes wrong, I have to put it in the care of the mechanic. Well, it's my bloody car. I own it. DMV want the registration from me for it. But when it goes wrong, I put it in the care of the mechanic. I don't give him my bloody car. When it needs fixing and repair, I put it in the care of the mechanic and he fixes it. Third step. Made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God, as we understood God. Understood is a past tense word. It's a past tense word because the understanding comes from the second step. But I don't give my life to God. I tried that. It don't work. I gave my life to God. God said, keep it. I don't want it. I gave it to you. We put it in his care for fixing and repair, same as my Jaguar car. Today I ain't powerless over alcohol. Why would I tell you I'm powerless over alcohol? Sounds sacrilegious. How many people feel a quirky feeling now when here I am up here telling you I ain't powerless over alcohol? And I'll tell you why. Do you know why I'm not powerless over alcohol? Because I ain't in and of myself anymore, that's why. In and of myself I'm powerless over alcohol. But I ain't in and of myself. When I hit bottom and invited the power into my life, and the power sent me to you, a 12-step spiritual fellowship, you 12-step spiritual fellowship introduced me to the Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous. In the Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous is a program of action, a 12-step spiritual program. You introduced me to a design for living, a blueprint for life, a sponsor. Today I have sponsorees. Powerless? I ain't powerless over alcohol today. I've got so much goddamn power over alcohol, I don't know what to do with it. I said to my sponsor, what should I do with all this power over alcohol? He said, give it away, he said. Now, if I back away from you and stop going to my meetings and stop reading my book and doing my commitments and coming up here on New Year's Eve to share my experience, strength and hope with you in a place that I don't even know where I am, if I back away and back a lot away from you and detach from God and back away from where he sent me to you guys, then I revert back to being of self again, don't I? And self is powerless over alcohol. Now I'm screwed. Now, the disease, I'm powerless over alcohol. Do you know why? Because it makes me do shit that I don't want to do, including drinking and using it. When I absolutely don't want to do it, the disease makes me do it anyway. When I absolutely, how many people have done that? How many people, when they absolutely haven't wanted to drink, when every fibre of their body is against drinking, when every choice they got in the world is to not drink, drank anyway? No shit. See? That's why if you're standing outside a liquor store or a crack house, you better have more going for you than the fact that you don't want to do it. See? And if that power that you say you understand isn't really understood, man, you're in a heap of trouble. I think about it really in terms of a bully bashing kids up. You know, and some smart kid says, you bash me up and I'll get my brother to come down here and bash you up. So the bully don't bash him up. And the kid is relying on the fact that he's told the bully that he's got a big brother who will bash him up if he bashes him up, so he don't get bashed up. But one day the bully says, screw you, I'm going to bash you up anyway. And the kid ain't got a big brother. He gets bashed up. It's like us here. If we ain't truly got that understanding of the power greater than ourselves that we can rely on in all situations, and that disease hits you up the side of the head one night, and you, those voices and those demons are screaming at you, you better have more going for you than the fact that you don't want to do it. I don't know that. I don't know that until I get in here. I don't know that until the beautiful book. Until, you know, such times as... Where's my glasses? Oh, here they are. Such times as, like, on page 132. My favourite page of the big book this week. You know what it says on page 132? Bottom of the page. It says, so we think cheerfulness and laughter make for usefulness. Outsiders are sometimes shocked when we burst into merriment over a seemingly tragic experience out of the past. But why shouldn't we laugh? We have recovered and have been given the power to help others. What a gift! What a gift! To recover from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body and be granted the power to help the next guy. What else is there? There ain't nothing else. Why we come in. That's why we come together. My mum don't understand that. My mum ain't sick like you lot. She don't laugh at seemingly tragic experiences out of the past. She never used to laugh when I used to come home and puke on the cat. Have you ever puked on a cat? That's bloody weird, I tell you. It is. She never used to laugh because I'm a puker too. Any other pukers here? No shit. And I ain't no dribble ass puker. I'm a goddamn directional puker, me. Like large chunks, woof. I could hit his foot from here, like woof, like that. You know, if you're a puker and you come home and you can feel it, like you can feel it coming, you know, and you... and you swallow it down. Shut up. But then you know, don't you? You know this is it. This is the heave. And it comes from down here. Right on the cat. And you look at it weird like that. Holy shit, I don't remember eating that. And then the cat gets up and runs off. Bits of carrot hanging on it and shit, you know. Corn. Now that's weird. Where does that bloody carrot come from, for Christ's sake? I can promise you I never once in my entire life sat down and ate a diced carrot. Yet every time I puked, there the bastard was. Diced carrot. Bits of corn. My mum don't laugh at that shit. You sick lot laugh with me, don't you? And that's what the language of the heart is, isn't it? The language of the heart, the laughter that we share between us. H-E-A-R-T. Healing, enjoying and recovering together. The language of the heart. And we do that between us, don't we? We come here and we share our experience, strength and hope. And we try and apply these principles to all our affairs. Yes, we've quit drinking and now we get to apply these principles because this is not a theory, we have to live it. And we get to apply it. And I don't know how to do that, folks. I need you to help me with that. I need my sponsor to help me. My sponsor teaches me things I don't know. I don't know how to think like he does. I don't know how to do the stuff like that. And the ninth step he told me, like when I was just, oh, everybody's after my dough. I've just got all this dough. I don't know how to do it. I said to my sponsor, what do I do? Everybody I know is after my dough. He said, no, Mick, he said, nobody's after your dough. I thought, oh, good. What do you mean? He said, they don't want your dough, they want their dough back. I don't know how to think that way. You get to apply these principles to all our affairs, like our personal relationships. Now, this is the country, I guess. I don't know whether it's different to the city. But I ain't no good at relationships. I don't seem to do so good in relationships. I don't know whether you guys do good or not, but I don't. It seems to be a quirky thing about alcoholics. We don't seem to do good at relationships. I wrote a word to cover relationships. R-E-L-A-T-I-O-N-S-H-I-P. Relationship. Really exciting love affair turns into outrageous nightmare. Sobriety hangs in peril. Seems to cover the bases, huh? I don't know how to apply that. You guys keep teaching me that, and I've got to wrap it up here. I guess I've overspoken, but I get excited. I love being around here, and I love doing what I do. Just like bloody Popeye, man. You know at the end of the Popeye movies where he says, I am who I am, I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. And that's what I feel like most of the time today. Never used to when I got here. Never used to, like, want to be who I am, doing what I'm doing, where I'm doing it, for the reasons I'm doing it, with the people I'm doing it with. Always wanted to be someone else, doing something else, somewhere else, for some other reason. Not today. I like me today. I like doing what I do. I like being who I am. You guys taught me that. I don't know how to do that. I don't know nothing about nothing. I don't know how to do nothing about nothing. My telephone number, I got two telephone numbers. I got three, actually. I got 818, are you clean? 818, are you sober? That's my telephone numbers, like Toys R Us. 818, are you clean? Are you sober? And I give you that telephone number because that's what you guys did on that first meeting I ever came to. When I got here, I got home from that first meeting just, you know, dope sick and hurting and not knowing nothing, dazed and confused. And I had two telephone numbers and I don't know who they are or what they are, but you guys gave them to me. And I didn't know it, but at the time I was beginning this process and I became an active member of Alcoholics Anonymous from day one. And I never knew that, but I was. Because guess what? I called one of the numbers. You guys gave me a phone number and I called the bastard. And this guy answered the phone. I said, I don't know who you are. I said, but I've got your phone number here. He said, oh, he said, I remember you from the meeting today. I said, oh, were you at the meeting? He said, yeah. I said, how long have you been going to them meetings? He said, 4 months. I said, what does that mean? He said, I haven't drank and used for 4 months. I said, is that right? He said, yeah. I said, you go to them meetings at night? He said, yeah. I said, can I go to a meeting with you tonight? And he said, well, he said, normally I would, he said, but tonight, he said, I've made plans to go to a movie instead. He said, so I'm not going to a meeting tonight. I went all little again. I felt like rejected again, so I went all little and inferior. And he must have picked up on it like you guys do. He went, wait a minute, he said. Wait a minute, he said. God damn, what's wrong with me? He said, I owe you an amend, he said. I said, what for? He said, I'm 4 months sober, and a newcomer wants to go to a meeting, and I tell him, no, I'm going to a movie? What the hell's wrong with me? He said, God, do I thank you. He said, I owe you an amend. I said, oh. He said, where do you live? I'm coming round to pick you up. I said, really? He said, yes. I said, what about your movie? He said, screw the movie. This is much more important. I said, really? He said, yes. And he came round. And he was bloody weird too. He was weird. He came round in a little red Fiat sports car. But it was all decked out like a Mercedes. It had a, you know, a Mercedes emblem on it and shit. I didn't know it, but I was getting my first lesson in grandiosity. But you know what? He took me to a meeting. He took me to a meeting that night. And he got me a copy of a beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous, that I still got, and it's got some miles on it. And you know what? I live down there in San Fernando Valley. A couple of weeks ago we had a picnic, a sober picnic, and this guy was there. He was the speaker at the meeting, and he's still 4 months ahead of me. See, this is a program of action. ACTION. Any change to improve our nature. Change. CHANGE. Choosing honesty allows new growth every day. Program of action. It's the actions we take. You can't wish, want, hope, pray or intend yourself sober. It doesn't work. We've got to get into action. And I hope you support your own group. I hope you get into action. I hope you enjoy. The only thing that happens if you don't get into action around here is you don't get the benefit of being in action. That's all there is to it. And it just seems to be that the people who stay sober over the long haul get into action and participate in this thing. The only other thing I want to say before I wrap it up is Princess Di died a little while ago. You were all grieved over that. But she gave me a very special message. She said, there is no known adverse reactions. There are no known bad consequences to a hug. Think about it. And when I came here, that's what you guys did. You put your arms around me and you hugged me. And you said, keep coming back. We love you. Hugs. H-U-G-S. Hugs. Help us get sober. And once we're sober, H-U-G-S, hugs, help us grow spiritually. So I say to you, spread those hugs around. Give each other those hugs, which I couldn't do when I got here. And join in Alcoholics Anonymous. See what we can do for the next guy. The wonderfulness of recovering from a hopeless state of mind and body. And carrying the message. That's what Alcoholics Anonymous is really all about, you know. You don't want to know why we call this Alcoholics Anonymous? I'll tell you why. Because I know. Perhaps you don't know, but I know. This is what Alcoholics Anonymous really means. Look, here it is, look. A-L-C-O-H-O-L-I-C-S, Alcoholics. A-N-O-N-Y-M-O-U-S, Alcoholics Anonymous. Now this is what it really means, look. A life centered on helping others lives in complete sobriety. Actions, not our names, yield maintenance of unity and service. And that's all there is, folks. There ain't no more than that. That's exactly what we got here. My telephone number, 818, are you sober? Thank you for having me. God bless.